Solace, a play by local playwright Aaron Bushkovsky, was first performed in 2002, but it's being revived at the Freddie Wood Theater at UBC, and Laura Lamb saw the show, and she's joined me in the studio now with her observations. Good morning.
Hi, Mordecai.
So, what is the play about?
It's ostensibly a murder mystery. There's a death. So it's built on the kind of classic dramatic device of the whodunit. But that's really not that important in the play. It's really more of a scaffolding to hold a critical examination of what one critic has called the moral, psychological, and spiritual bankruptcy of Vancouver as portrayed by these emblematic characters, emblematic Vancouverites, I suppose you could say.
That's quite a set of three words, and it's a pretty scathing condemnation of our city, which some people like to say, oh, it's the most wonderful city in the world. So who are these emblematic characters, these Vancouverites who are morally, psychologically, and spiritually bankrupt?
Well, there's five characters in the play. There's a housing activist. There's a privileged woman who works in an art gallery. And there's a photographer, an artist, who also has a day job as a real estate agent.
yeah. Like that one.
Yeah, you're starting to get it. But the real bankrupt, I suppose, characters, the most important characters in the play, are kind of somewhat stereotyped characters. There's a lawyer who is very similar to many lawyers we've seen in the movies, right? Kind of a popular stereotype, one who says there is no such thing as truth. Truth is relative. Ethics are meaningless. What's really important is his skill to manipulate that flexibility of meanings in the client's favor, and whether someone is innocent or guilty means nothing. And he's a kind of sharp-tongued verbal bully, you know, that you might expect. And then he also has a kind of a philosophical side and a artificionado side. So he's a film lover who at one point muses about how films have changed from a theme of can I trust this person to can I trust this situation to can I trust my own perceptions. So he's a bit deep. And then there's the other bankrupt character, I suppose, is another person we all love to hate, the real estate developer, right? So he is also a kind of cynical professional who can deliver a lot of clever one-liners. So this kind of the witticisms of these two characters carry the play along, you know, give us a lot of laughs. So this character, he can move from touchy-feely kind of ad speak, like saying, I believe in giving people a chance to live happy ever after, to what I thought was one of the best lines in the play. When he's asked, where is Vancouver's heart? He says, we have atmosphere. We don't need heart. If you want heart, go to Winnipeg.
That's your home.
Yes. That really... So, I got a laugh out of me.
I bet. So, but you'd want to know more. What is the heart and the soul that the author thinks Winnipeg has and Vancouver simply doesn't?
Well, yeah, that's kind of the big question that is only kind of hinted on. And I think it's possibly an oversimplification on my part to simply define that as being a disconnect with history that Vancouver has, and of course from community. And that's why the whole real estate saga, the developer who's taking a heritage building, which in the play was slated for social housing, but it's now going to be high-end condos. And this is kind of a perfect emblem for this soul sickness.
Is this presented as really unique to Vancouver, this the soullessness?
Well, yeah, Vancouver is specifically referenced many, many times in the play. And that really resonated with me because I agree. I think there is something soulless about Vancouver. And it led me to a couple of more concrete examples because the play is a bit amorphous about it. It hints at this historical problem because throughout the play, The set is made by projections, and sometimes instead of those projections describing the actual scene, they are historical photographs. So these come in at various points. So that's what makes me think that Bishkowski is kind of on the same wavelength here as I am, and I have a couple of more concrete examples that really describe what I started to think about. One is a tract that was written by my late dear friend Fred Douglas, who is an artist and a writer. Just before he died, he was writing this thing about the downtown East Side and how that moniker is really marginalizes an area of the city, which is not a marginal area, which should never be a marginal area, because it's not an other place. It's not that place over there, the downtown East Side. It's actually central Vancouver. It is Vancouver. And by accepting this nomenclature, by saying, oh, yes, right, it's the downtown East Side and Vancouver is somewhere else, that's kind of a massive forgetting. And even the people who are critical, like activists and artists, accept that. And that's sort of a symptom of our social amnesia. So there's that. And then I also thought about the title of this book, which I once saw in someone else's house and never had a chance to completely read. But it's a book about the history of British Columbia. It's called The Rush for Spoils, and about how capitalists came in here and could make money really fast on the resources, on the timber and the fish and so on. And that rush now is in real estate. It's the speed of the greed here. And I think that's kind of the economic base, you might say, for this malaise.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a city that the rush for greed, the speed of destruction. I mean, you go past every place in your own neighborhood, and nothing remains the same. A house, choom, disappears, and you wonder, what was there before? And it's constantly reconstructed, but it's ahistoric. It becomes less and less history.
Yeah, so the characters in the film keep saying things like, we're all disconnected, we've lost our humanity, and what the hell is wrong with us? So it's this malaise which they can't put their finger on.
But the soulless play is advertised, publicized as a play about redemption. So are the characters or the city in the telling of the story, is there some brightness that happens, that comes to the fore?
Well, I didn't really see that in the play. There is one character who moves to change her personal situation, and the lawyer and the developer sort of have the arrogance knocked out of them by the end of it. But the only kind of redemption is this hint of that sexual romantic love can make people happy. So that was hinted at.
Did you go away feeling love conquers all?
Well, I think Bishkowski kind of almost takes that way out, and I think that's a weakness in the play. But he knows too much to really make a happy ending. But then there is another kind of redemption that he also plays with, which I think he deals with in a very strong way, he just crushes it. The idea that that art can be a panacea, that art can be our redemption, that artists are somehow innocent. In the character of the photographer, the artist, who he emerges at the end as more smug, more self-serving than anyone else in the play. So it's he's possibly the most soulless character by the end. Whereas the other characters have sort of dropped their self-satisfaction, he's still congratulating himself, and he's saying, a person like me comes along to illuminate things. So yeah, I thought that was the most interesting approach to the idea of redemption, and he really just smashes it.
So it's very clear that is the satirized or exposed,
yeah,
as opposed to affirmed as somehow
events,
something genuine.
Yes, yeah, the events of the play put a lie to it.
Well, the question about all reviews, do you recommend going to the play?
Yes, I do. I enjoyed it. It was very well done. And, you know, as you can tell from what I've been saying, it stimulated a lot of thinking. And I think, just as if to sum up, because he was the author, when an author puts an artist, proclaimed artist, in a play, in a way they're always a stand-in for the artist who created the play. And by making the play ultimately critical of the artist, it's also self-critical, and that makes it, to me, a genuine critical endeavor. When you can turn criticism, it's easy to attack developers and lawyers. Everybody does that, but to turn it on yourself, I think that's something to see.
Thanks a lot, Laura. I've been speaking with Laura Lamb about the play Soulless. It's running until the 3rd of December. That's next Saturday. So you have a full week to see it, and it's at the Frederick Wood Theatre, which is on the UBC campus.